Like Effect continues on WUWM. I'm Mitch Teich. For a year, members of a theater company embedded themselves at Luther Manor Nursing Home in Wauwatosa and worked with the residents on a production called Finding Penelope, an adaptation from Homer's The Odyssey. Playwright Anne Basting and members of the Sojourn Theater Company took on the project to examine how the work might have a long-term positive effect on the residents of the center. It also spurred a documentary about the project called Penelope, produced by Milwaukee filmmaker Brad Lichtenstein. He and Anne Basting, who are also husband and wife, are in the studio with us to talk about both the play and the film. Nice to see you both.
Thanks. It's great to be here, as always.
Thanks, Mitch.
What got you thinking about how theater techniques might help people with Alzheimer's?
The answer to that question is about 15 years worth of work. Really, the realization very early on that when you go to a place of memory with a person with dementia and memory loss, you're likely to meet some shame and some failure. It's not necessarily going to go real well. Yet still, that's kind of the noble impulse that we have, is to go toward memory, to work with someone to reinvigorate their memories. Actually making a shift toward imagination really helps open a relationship to more equal, more responsive, more communicative, more an exchange of emotions. So that's the core of the work. Really, with this project in particular, we've been using those techniques of imagination for a long time, and we know that they work in small groups. The challenge here was to see if we could really infuse this approach across an entire care community. And Luther Manor is 1 million square feet. 700 people live there. 700 people work there on various shifts. It is a small village. And could we somehow use creativity and imagination to build a sense of connection and community in that place?
Was it difficult to get Luther Manor itself on board with this?
I'd had a long relationship with them, so I was very lucky. And I knew that if we could make it work somewhere, this was the place to make it work. I'd been working there probably for 15 years with some strong relationships that I'd built, particularly in the Adult Day Center with Beth Meyer Arnold, who's transformed that place. It's just incredible. So we had a solid relationship of trust to go on, yet still to approach someone and say, I have an idea. Let's read the Odyssey for a year with people, staff, family, residents across the entire care campus, and then create an original play and stage it site specifically through the facility. Not your average person is going to say yes to that. So I'm really thankful that they opened themselves up to this experience.
Well, and how did this develop? I mean, it's one thing to put on a play, but it's another thing to do it in this site-specific way that I imagine was a challenge both to put on and for you, Brad, a challenge to capture.
Sure. The whole thing was a challenge to capture because we really didn't know where the project was going to go. And we originally thought that we would make a film or like a series of videos for an educational type of use. And then soon we discovered that it was really exciting dramatically because even though Anne had this long relationship with Luther Manor, the actual seeing and hearing the actors and the residents in a dining hall making a ton of noise as they rehearse a fight scene and disturbing people who have memory loss and how the staff is going to deal with that, all that sort of revealed to us there's all this drama. And as we all know, drama makes for good film. So we decided to try to do something a little bit more elaborate than just a video education module.
But how long did it take for you to figure out what this was, you know?
You know, the other part of this work is the other significant shift of this kind of an approach is that we're trying to create long-term care as a place of learning and growth, which first thing, when you think of long-term care, those are not the two operative words that come into mind. Can we create this as a place where we're really discovering and creating something with people there, not for people there, where that for puts them in a position of passivity. And with is collaboration, which means you don't know what's going to happen and you don't know who's going to come to the table. We spent Sojourn Theater, who is also involved with this project, integral involved in this project, collaborating with the students and Sojourn and everybody at the table, always inviting people to join us. So, from the first day we started to the last. And so it's evolving as it goes on. That was the course in the process.
I mean, what the film is really about is about how the actors, the theater group, the residents, they actually don't know what's going to happen. And one of the things that I think people have to understand about this, and they'll see it if they see the movie, is that it's not just about doing a community art project. The ambition to make really solid high art out of this, I mean, it was funded by the Rockefeller Foundation, you know, serious high art, and make it inclusive and meaningful to all of the residents who are involved, including people with dementia, was the big challenge. And one of the things that you see in the footage and it's in the movie and it's also all over our outtakes is how frustrating that process is. There's a scene where Anne bangs her head literally against the speakerphone when she's in a conference call over what to do with a script. There's another scene where one of the younger people, the director of the play, discovers that the connections you make with people with dementia are not necessarily going to be there the next day.
And she talks about what a wonderful connection she made and then went back to the same person the next day and the person didn't remember a thing.
And one of the core questions is that okay? The beauty of that connection was pretty incredible. And we're left, I think, at the end with we made something beautiful in the moment and how can it live on in maybe a different way rather than literal memory.
Well, I was going to say, and I think one of the things you see too is the transformation of the different people involved in this project. So you see the younger woman realizing that's okay if she doesn't remember me the next day. That's what this is all about. Or you also see the transformation of some of the older characters who are learning to perform a role and how that changes the way they see themselves and the way family and other people see them. It's pretty remarkable.
There, and it strikes me that there was another challenge that I think a staff member brought up, which was the transient nature of people who live in a place like this.
Reluctance might not be there tomorrow.
Right, exactly. The reluctance to take part in something like this when they might not be there tomorrow.
Now, that was a really profound fear that the staff there felt, which is, you know, what happens if you are casting somebody with the expectation that they'll be there in 3 months when the play is being put on and the very real possibility that they might die. That's kind of looming over the project all the time. There's actually outtakes we have. We didn't end up using it when an ambulance showed up to take somebody out during one of the rehearsals.
And something like that must really weigh on a group of professional performers. These are not the kinds of challenges that most theater companies are probably dealing with.
No, Sojourn really is a unique leader in the whole country in this respect, really working very site-specifically and across sectors, bringing really unique partnerships to bear. But even this was a challenge for them because they had never performed in a space where people were living. And so figuring out, we were collaborating in an expansive way every minute we were there because we were walking through people's homes, essentially. You know, doors are open, and how do you engage someone in that respect? The other thing I was going to say about the comment earlier was to say in the traditional structure of a play, oftentimes the ending is based on recognition. And how can you – it becomes a real interesting thing to create a structure where you feel recognized without recognition. And in some ways, this is a flip of the usual recognition scene. The key character, the chorus who plays Penelope, doesn't recognize Odysseus, who's disguised. And Penelope, who lives at Luther Manor, doesn't recognize her daughter. But the audience and the whole point of the piece, the audience and the two characters, Odysseus and Mira, demonstrate that they recognize them. And then there's the bonding and connection through the final scene.
After working with the people at Luther Manor for a year on this, was it difficult to end this project and say essentially goodbye to the residents and staff you had been working with so intensely and hope that what you were doing would live on in some way?
It was. We had the cast party of all cast parties, first of all, at the Adult Day Center. It was just everyone was weeping and it was really—
Singing and dancing.
It was fantastic. We didn't realize it, but we had all made gifts for each other and we gave T-shirts that had the chorus phrase, "Our cunning, noble, wise, and lovely queen" on them. And it was just a wonderful experience. And then it was a real leap of faith to kind of retreat. The actors had to go right away because we couldn't keep paying them to be in town. But the students kind of went out once in a while. I'd go out every once in a while. But we were really hoping that the facility would figure out the next steps for itself once this had taken hold and it had kind of institutional memory of this. And they have, I'm happy to report, especially Rusty, who you'll meet in the film, who is quite a character. And he plays 54 of the suitors. And he has started a radio show inside of Luther Manor, getting a whole television and radio studio donated. And they have KLM radio out there. No competition, don't worry. And they write their own original radio plays and perform them on the closed circuit.
And pardon the obvious nature of this question, but would you hope that a project like this spurs kind of a broader rethinking of what it means to care for people who are going through this sort of period in their life?
It's exactly what we hope. And we put together a little screening kit and an education guide, and we've been screening it around the country now. Actually, I just got back from Halifax. I screened it up there.
Which is not even in this country.
No, internationally, with the hope of really inspiring people to raise the bar on what you're offering as activities. Bingo's great, but do you learn through over time in it? Are you really doing something meaningful that's stretching people and helping people grow and allowing families to connect and staff to connect with residents, and that is inclusive, that doesn't stigmatize or leave out people with disabilities in a way that you can really say that we're creating community, that this is a place where we feel nourished?
Well, Anne Basting, Brad Lichtenstein, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Brad Lichtenstein is a documentary filmmaker and president of 371 Productions. Anne Basting is a playwright and professor of theater at UW-Milwaukee's Peck School of the Arts. The film Penelope will show at the Milwaukee Film Festival this afternoon and Wednesday afternoon. You'll find a link to more about it from UWM.com/Lake Effect. Why the musical Ragtime resonates so strongly today. A chat with a director and an actor from the Milwaukee Reps production when Lake Effect returns on Milwaukee Public Radio.